Welcome to Listen 2. This is Ted. The news was published on Thursday, September 26th. Joining me today are Eric and Kate. Let's dive right in. Today we're discussing the high cost of weight loss drugs and their impact on patients. Let's start with the basics. What are GLP-1 drugs and how do they work?
Well, Ted, GLP-1 drugs are pretty fascinating. They're like little hormone impersonators in our bodies. These clever meds mimic the hormones that naturally control our appetite and blood sugar. It's like they're tricking our bodies into feeling full and satisfied. And let me tell you, the results can be mind-blowing. We're talking about some patients shedding over 200 pounds. It's not just a diet pill. It's a total game changer for many folks struggling with obesity.
Sure, they're effective, but let's call a spade here. These drugs are ridiculously overpriced. Big Pharma is exploiting people's desperation to lose weight. It's a classic.
Now hold on a second, Kate. We can't just ignore the years of research and development that go into creating these medications. These aren't just random pills. They're the result of countless hours of scientific work. And for many people struggling with obesity, these drugs are absolutely
life-changing for those who can afford them. That's the whole point, Eric. Most Americans can't shell out $1,000 a month for medication. It doesn't matter how effective they are if people can't access them. We're creating a two-tiered system where only the wealthy can benefit from these medical advances.
Let's talk about Tara Rothenhofer's experience. How did her journey with weight loss medication begin?
Tara's story is really quite remarkable, Ted. She participated in an 18-month clinical trial for Zepbound, which is one of these GLP-1 drugs we're talking about. The results were nothing short of amazing. She lost over 200 pounds during the trial. But it wasn't just about the numbers on the scale. Tara reported that it completely changed her relationship with food. The constant food noise in her head disappeared, allowing her to focus on developing healthy habits without the constant preoccupation with eating.
Sure, the trial was great for Tara, but what happened when it ended? She couldn't afford the medication anymore. That's the real story here. These trials give people a taste of hope, then yank it away.
That's why drug companies offer coupons and discounts, Kate. They're not just leaving patients high and dry. Eli Lilly, for example, provided Tara with a coupon to continue her treatment. It's a way to bridge the gap.
Coupons are just a Band-Aid solution, Eric. They expire, leaving patients like Tara in a lurch. It's not a sustainable way to manage chronic health conditions. What happens when the coupon runs out? Patients are right back where they started, unable to afford their medication.
It's still better than nothing, Kate. These coupons help many patients access life-saving medication, at least for a while. It gives them time to figure out long-term solutions or for their insurance to potentially start covering the medication. Plus, it allows more people to experience the benefits of the drug, which could lead to increased pressure on insurance companies to cover it.
And what about when the coupons run out? Tara had to ration her doses, risking her health and weight regain. That's not healthcare. That's desperation. People shouldn't have to play Russian roulette with their medication because of cost. It's inhumane, and it's a clear sign that our system is broken.
Let's look at this issue in a broader context. Can you think of a similar historic event where life-changing medication was priced out of reach for many patients?
The insulin pricing crisis immediately comes to mind, Ted. It's a fascinating parallel. When insulin was first discovered back in 1921, the scientists behind it were true heroes. They sold the patent for just $1, hoping to make it widely accessible to everyone who needed it. Their intention was to save lives, not make a fortune. It's a stark contrast to what we're seeing today with these weight loss drugs.
Exactly. And look what happened. Insulin prices skyrocketed, forcing diabetics to ration or go without essential medication. It's a perfect example of how the pharmaceutical industry puts profits over people. We're seeing history repeat itself with these.
There are crucial differences, Kate. Unlike insulin, which is necessary for survival, weight loss drugs are more of a quality of life medication. They're important, certainly, but not immediately life threatening.
That's a dangerous oversimplification, Eric. Obesity is linked to numerous health issues that can be life-threatening. We're talking about heart disease, diabetes, certain cancers. These are serious, potentially fatal conditions. Dismissing weight loss drugs as just quality-of-life medications ignores the very real health risks of obesity.
How did the insulin crisis eventually play out, and what lessons can we learn from it?
Well, Ted, over time, we saw generic versions of insulin become available, which helped to lower costs significantly. It took a while, but market forces eventually kicked in. We're starting to see a similar trend with compounded versions of GLP-1 drugs. These are custom formulations that can be much cheaper than the brand name versions. It's not a perfect solution, but it's a step in the right direction.
It shouldn't take decades for affordable options to emerge. People are suffering now. We can't just sit back and wait for the market to sort itself out. That's not a healthcare strategy. That's neglect. We need immediate action.
The insulin crisis also led to increased scrutiny of drug pricing practices, which we're seeing now with weight loss drugs. It's not just about lowering prices, but understanding the whole ecosystem of drug development, pricing.
Scrutiny isn't enough, Eric. We need concrete action to make these medications affordable for everyone who needs them. Hearings and investigations are great, but they don't put medication in people's hands. We need price caps, increased regulation, and a complete overhaul of how we approach healthcare in this country.
Looking ahead, how do you see this situation unfolding? What are two distinct possibilities for the future of weight loss medication accessibility?
One possibility, Ted, is that market competition will naturally drive prices down. As more GLP-1 drugs enter the market, we'll likely see prices decrease. It's basic supply and demand. Companies will have to compete on price to attract customers. We're already seeing some of this with Eli Lilly reducing the price of Zepbound. It's not an overnight fix, but it's a trend in the right direction.
That's wishful thinking, Eric. Without government intervention, drug companies will continue to price gouge patients. They'll find ways to maintain their monopolies, extend patents, and keep prices high. We've seen this.
Another possibility is that insurance companies will start covering these medications more widely, recognizing their long-term health benefits. If insurers see that covering these drugs now can prevent more expensive health issues down the line, they might be more willing to.
Insurance companies are just as profit-driven as drug manufacturers. They'll resist covering expensive medications as long as they can. We need systemic change, not just hoping that insurance companies will suddenly develop a conscience. The entire healthcare system needs an overhaul.
What about the role of compounded medications? How might they impact the future landscape?
Compounded medications could provide a more affordable alternative, Ted. We're already seeing this with Tara's story. She's now able to access a compounded version of tirzepatide for $329 a month compared to over $1,000 for the brand name drug. It's a significant savings. However, we can't ignore the concerns about quality control and safety. These drugs aren't FDA approved, which raises some red flags.
Compounded drugs are a lifeline for patients like Tara. They're the only way many people can access these life-changing treatments. Without them, millions of Americans would be left without any options. Yes, there are concerns, but the real risk is leaving people without access to effective
weight loss. But we can't ignore the potential risks, Kate. These drugs aren't FDA approved and could have inconsistent quality. We're talking about medications that people are injecting into their bodies. There needs to be some level of oversight.
The real risk is leaving millions of Americans without access to effective weight loss treatments. Obesity is a serious health crisis in this country, and we're denying people a tool that could literally save their lives. The system is broken when people have to choose between their health and their financial stability.
We need a balanced approach that ensures both affordability and safety. It's not an either-or situation. We can work towards making these medications more accessible while also maintaining rigorous safety standards. It might take time, but it's possible to find a middle ground that benefits patients without compromising on quality.
What we need is a complete overhaul of our healthcare system to prioritize patient needs over corporate profits. Anything less is just putting a band-aid on a gaping wound. We need to rethink how we develop, price, and distribute medications in this country. Until we do that, we'll keep having these same conversations while people suffer.
Thank you both for this lively discussion. It's clear that the issue of weight loss drug accessibility is complex and multifaceted. While there's no easy solution, conversations like these are crucial in moving towards a more equitable healthcare system. Until next time, this is Ted signing off from Listen 2.